Hey, good morning, listeners. This is Travis and Nate from Evangel with Pearls and Swine podcast at Evangel Community Church in Houghton. We're glad you guys are here hanging out with us today. We are missing one of the trifecta today. Pastor Levi is out at an undisclosed location.
Yeah, and living it up.
Taking a little vacation. He needs a little time off.
Yeah, but he's working really hard from what I hear, trying to build some stuff. So
good for him. He needed to get out and get some things done, hang with his fam and dig a hole.
Dude, there's something about doing manual labor that's just good.
Get some work done. You see what you've accomplished over those time and those hours. And you're like, man, I can rest well tonight.
Gives like a mental break or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, this week we are going to talk about the topic of shame versus guilt. And what really was the driving force in this, I was in a takeout restaurant. We will leave that unnamed for now. And it was super busy. It was one of those hot days that we had a few weeks ago and nobody wanted to cook at home. My wife was also one of those somebodies that didn't want to cook at home. So I said, yeah, I'll grab some food. No problem. It'll be like a quick in and out, 10, 15 minutes. Well, it ended up being a whole lot longer than that. I think I was there for about 35 minutes. What happened was the restaurant got slammed with orders online and over the phone, and people were coming in and taking things, and some people's orders got taken that weren't theirs. And so people that were waiting, some of us were patient, some of us were not. And what ended up happening is one customer that was in line, a few people ahead of me, started getting really upset. And I'm sure we've all been in instances like that where you've just seen somebody go irate over something kind of minimal. And I was just trying to keep it cool, be patient. Like, it is what it is. People have hard days. Things happen, right? Well, this guy just started making little comments under his breath. And pretty soon it was loud comments directed at employees until he was finally telling the employees that what they do is not rocket scientists. Basically, any idiot could make the food that they were making and serve. And so the poor guy behind the counter was just sweating. I mean, it was hot in there. It was stressful for those guys. They weren't standing around. They were running around working their tails off trying to get food out the door for people. And so I just kind of watched this thing play out, and he got more irate. And finally, the poor guy behind the counter said, sir, there's nothing I can do to help you in this. You know, would you like to speak to my manager? And the guy says, sure enough, the gal comes out, and he just starts laying into her like, I can't believe this is the worst service I've ever had. And she's just sweating. I mean, she was back there working, and she's trying to keep her calm and keep this guy calm and diffuse the situation. And finally he's like, there's nothing that's going to make me happy. You've messed up my order. You've ruined my night. I basically hate you. And so at that point, like, I'm kind of standing on edge, right? Like, if I need to jump in between here and take a punch for somebody over some food. But she's like, you know what we can do for you? You don't have to have your food here, sir. I'm so sorry that your experiences was like this. And he just starts laying into her about just shaming her as a person. Like, you're an idiot. I can't believe that you're so incompetent. This is such a simple thing to do. And it was not pretty. Like, there was another few customers in there and jaws were on the floor. And so it just got me thinking about this idea of shame versus guilt. It's kind of a biblical principle, right?
Yeah. Shame versus guilt.
We see it early on.
Yeah. And they're not really easy sometimes to distinguish. And, you know, sometimes you can think, well, what is the difference between shame and guilt? Like, if I've done something bad, I feel guiltier and I'm ashamed by it and that kind of thing. But there are a few distinctions. And we were talking a little bit earlier about this idea. Shame is a more personal, more identity type thing, where it speaks to who you are as a person, where if you feel shame, you're like, I'm terrible, I'm incompetent, I'm worthless or no good, versus guilt, which has more to do with actions. Like, oh, I did something wrong. I failed to speak up, or I failed to accomplish a responsibility or something like that. And so it's more geared to action. And so it's not quite as personal. It kind of messed up, and we all mess up from time to time. And so it's guilt is a little more easier for us to wrestle with and understand and explain. But when it talks to who we are as a person, our very identity, where shame exists and dwells, it can be a lot harder for people. And so one of the questions is, which is good? Is shame actually good for us from time to time as we wrestle and think through our lives and maybe stuff that's happened or things that we've done and maybe the corruption and wickedness that exists in our own person? Or is it more healthy to think through it in terms of guilt? What do you think, Trav? Is there a a way to go about that that's good or healthy?
There was one article that I read that talked about shame and guilt and that they were twins born from the same place, but they weren't identical. Mm. And in my mind, that's a good early description of where we're going with this. You know, like you said, shame is tied to your identity of who you are. Mm-hmm. When you feel at a core level shame about who you are, it has its problems. It has issues that are going to manifest themselves in different ways. And I like how you talked about like guilt is that feeling, because guilt is more of a motivator. Hmm. We should feel shame in some instances. I think of when I mess up or in the past when I have messed up really bad, like I feel ashamed at like how, usually it's how stupid could you have been for doing something that dumb.
Dummy. And,
yeah. Like the inside of my head is a dark, twisted place sometimes. But you can't dwell there. Like you have to come back, for me, having faith, come back to who you are in Christ. The scriptures talk all about that. Like you mm-hmm. should be unashamed of the gospel. You stand redeemed because of who Jesus is and what he's done for you when you've accepted him in your life before the maker.
Yeah.
I think shame is less motivating. It's more debilitating, and guilt is more of a movement towards repentance, a church word. We'll use that there.
Sure.
Recognizing that you need forgiveness, that you can't do it on your own. I think that's more of a driving force than shame.
I know you played sports and you're on football teams. I'm sure every once in a while you did something that wasn't a smart play and the coach like reamed into you or said,
lit me up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Travis, what are you doing? So in a situation like that, would you find it motivating for the coach to be like, you're like, have no football sense or something like that, like really coming at you as far as your identity and your capability as a person? Or if he said, Travis, make sure you don't do that again.
That's yeah, which would be coach more speak I've ever heard in my life.
Which would be more motivating for you to change or to be more aware, I guess, of that situation.
So in that context, you know, it's a high pressure, high stress, and you need change right in the moment.
Sure.
And it depends on the person, and it depends on who is the one giving the motivational speech. And so, you know, pull your head out of your rear was like, that was a good one that I heard a lot. You know, and it's like, okay, yeah, I got to start thinking straight. Yeah. But if you hear that day in and day out, that's going to wear on some people.
Sure.
Even the strongest of people, that's going to wear you down. Like, but the sports arena is a little bit different in my opinion, because you're kind of expected to show nothing short of excellence and strive for that. And any little mistake is in the moment, like life earth shattering.
Sure.
So it's helpful. I think you got to know the person that you're talking to as a coach and how they can respond to some of that. But
sure. I want to go to a more biblical scenario at the fall, at the very beginning, with the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, as they experienced guilt and even shame. They had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And some things happened. Both their eyes were open. They realized that they were naked. And one of the ways they tried to deal with that was to sew some fig leaves together. And then they heard God walking in the garden. And their response was to hide themselves. And I think that's a natural response for us, to cover up shame. And I think, you know, guilt might be something we can more easily address because, like we said, it's not that personal. It's not that identity type stuff. It's something where it can be like, oh yeah, I messed up. I did the wrong thing there. My action was wrong. But when we speak to identity, we want to hide. We want to get away from those peering eyes, if you will, that judge us, if you will. And so they're hiding, but how do you hide from God? Like kind of a difficult task to do. Like God is the ultimate seeker and hide and seek. So God finds him and he said to the man, why'd you hide yourself? Essentially. And Adam speaks up and says, well, we heard you and we were afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. God's like, well, wait a second. Who told you you were naked? And finds out he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then, you know, they go into this whole scenario where they talk through where Adam had disobeyed the command of God. But I really wanted to talk about this idea that he recognized that he was naked and hid himself. And so part of it is when we experience shame, we feel this uncovering, if you will, this exposure that we're not good enough, that we're not able to do something or live up to expectations. I think, like you said, Travis, that's a hard thing to address, a hard thing to deal with. And the gospel takes a different approach to things because there's an underlying current of love that God would choose to pursue us, that God would choose to come after us and try to restore this relationship that's been broken. There's this undercurrent that he cares. He loves us. We are valuable. And so there's not a shame there, but it does address issues because we have this broken relationship with God for a reason. And that reason is because we have done wrong things. We are, in fact, corrupted. We would choose to go against God if just freely left to our own stuff. The gospel has this great way, I think, of motivating change, like we were talking about, to speak into this love. Like, we are valuable. We are important. God loves us. We're worth him pursuing. And yet addressing those issues that really do exist, that broke our relationship to begin with, that we have done something wrong, that we're, in fact, would always choose rebellion against God. There is this fundamental problem with ourselves, but it approaches us at the point of guilt instead of a point of shame. And so it helps us, one, to look at ourselves with reality, to really expose ourselves and take off all those coverings, take off all those fig leaves that we put on ourselves as if those work. Like, how could that work as a covering or a piece of clothing? Like, it's going to rip the very first time you move.
Yeah, it's
like,
not
that's,
armor.
That's not working. Mm-hmm. And so it helps us to remove those things and take a real good look with love. And I think so oftentimes when people say, don't judge me, it's this question really of, do you care? Do you love me? Am I important to you? Don't just tell me what I already feel about myself, that I'm worthless, that I'm not very good. Help me understand if you really care. And then we can talk about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. That's why I like how you brought in the story, just because of the way that's the way sin came into the world. That's the way shame and guilt came into play in life too. And it really resonates with me how shame influences your identity. And the big thing with shame is that it cuts us off. It cuts us off from other people because of that. It cuts us off from a relationship with our creator. It tarnishes our identity. But that guilt factor that can be hand in hand with shame is that driving force. In Romans 10:11, it says that, as scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. And we know that when you believe in him, your identity changes. Your identity is no longer you. It's Christ in you. You've been redeemed before God. Our brokenness, our sinful nature, all that stuff was paid for on the cross by Christ so we could be connected back to the Father. And that's where I think shame can come in and really wreak havoc in somebody's life. Hmm. Been through those moments in life where the stupid things that I've done, like, how could God love me? How could God even, like, I've done so bad. Like, there's just no way that he can see me that way. But scripture promises us over and over again that Christ paid for it once and for all. Hmm. That doesn't mean that our mindset should be guilt-free, because we are all guilty and stand condemned. But because of the blood of Christ, we're able to be viewed as free, as good, as holy before our holy God. But it's that like balance of that thing. Like, we need to be pushed in one way to challenge, step up to the challenge and live our lives in a way that reflects who God is in our lives, but we're going to falter. We're going to fail. So we need to let the guilt of our mistakes push us back to him instead of away from him, which I think is probably the desire in that.
Hmm. Yeah. I keep coming back to this idea of identity. The fall is such an interesting event in human history, because when we recognize who we are as humans, it should be such an uplifting thing that we are placed at the very top of all of God's creation as the sole creature, the one creature that he made that has his image, that we get to be like God to the rest of creation. And he gives us the responsibility to do that, to have dominion, to rule over, to cultivate even this world that he's given to us. And so when this other creature, this serpent, and Satan makes these temptations towards Eve, he tempts her to be more like God.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what he tells her. He's like, look, if you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, You're going to be more like God.
God's holding out on you. He's got, you can do it better if you just do this.
So you have this serpent who's not made in God's image trying to tell this creature who is at the pinnacle of creation because she's made in God's image that she can be more like God. And so there's this interesting play, even there, on identity. Like, can we grasp who we actually are in God, who God has created us to be, to reflect Him, to like have these, this divine image that's been placed upon us and reflect that to the rest of creation. That should be such a source of confidence and love and security and value. And yet, what do we see the struggles of our culture? Depression, worthlessness, taking all kinds of like painkillers and stuff like that to try to alleviate pain and other issues, or just alcoholism and trying to drink away our problems. Whatever the case will be, like, so much of this speaks to our identity. Do we have value? From the very beginning, God said, yes, we are the most valuable to Him. And the gospel once again screams it out. Yes, you are valuable to me, and I'm going to prove it by coming to you. I am going to show you exactly how valuable you are to me, because I'm going to clear the way for us to have this renewed relationship. Yeah.
It's grace.
Yeah.
It's God's grace.
It's costly grace though, right?
Absolutely.
Because Jesus had to come, which in of itself, for Jesus to come is a great sacrifice for Him, to go from this perfect, you know, place in heaven with God the Father, the angels, and nothing is out of place, nothing is wrong in this environment, to come to the earth, right? And to have to wander around with us and hang out with us where things are broken and things are marred and people are not the images of God they should be, not only to just come and communicate who God is and what an actual reflection of God looks like, but then also to die for us and sacrificially choose to do what we couldn't do for ourselves and pay our sin debt and restore us to God if we would choose to submit to Him.
Yeah.
Such just amazing confirmation of God's love for us that should speak into our shame and even speak into our guilt, because we do things that are wrong too, and just say, look, you are valuable.
It's the gospel. If you look at everything through that lens, which we should and we do, that's why we must deal with our shame, right? Because mm-hmm. it reminds us that God's already dealt with our guilt. He sent His Son to the cross. The Son obediently obeyed because He knew that was the only way to make things right again. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of the cross. We're forgiven. We're made clean. We're justified, in another churchy word, before the Lord.
Justified.
But even though we don't deserve it, we didn't earn it. It's just that free gift of grace that is so amazing and so beautiful. And that's really where we need to shift our identity to. I'm thinking of probably Galatians chapter 2. I'm not recalling the verse. Maybe 20, 21. When we talk about that we've suffered with Christ and that it's no longer I who live, but Christ within me. We've died. We've let the flesh pass away. And now because of the love of Christ, God gave His Son that we can be free. He gave Himself for me. And that's where we need to find our self-worth. That's where we need to deal with our shame, because He's already dealt with our guilt.
Yeah. So I'm going to change gears for us real quick. So for Christians out there who've experienced this love and this grace and this mercy and understand we're made in the image of God and we have this value, because of the gospel now, we have this responsibility to be like Jesus to others, right? Mm. We have this responsibility to forgive. Mm-hmm. We have this responsibility to be gracious. We have this responsibility to be merciful to people. And God actually demands it, that if we don't forgive, we're not going to be forgiven. Mm-hmm. And so there is no room in the Christian life for us to be shaming people or making people feel like they are worthless, because one, they are so valued by God Himself, mm-hmm. and the gospel proves it.
Absolutely.
And even if they did something horrible to us,
like not wear a mask or something like that.
How dare you?
I know.
Yeah, that is something that should not define someone's identity. It has been defined by God. Mm-hmm. We are made in His image. Yeah, we are broken because of sin, but He has restored that through the gospel. And now we live out that life that Jesus did for us in sacrificing, and we choose to forgive and give grace to others.
Well, that's kind of our time now. And I just want to reiterate that if you're out there and you're listening to this and you have struggles with guilt or shame and you don't know Jesus yet, man, we would love to talk to you. You can check in with us, travis@evangelup.org. You can shoot me an email anytime. We've got our website at the same address, evangelup.org. You can give us a call here at the church. But if you just need some prayer or you need some encouragement, we would love to talk to you. We'd love to just walk through some of that with you.
Yeah, we love the opportunity to just talk to you guys about stuff. So if you have any topics, we would love to address some of those. So shoot us those topics. We hope to even meet you. Come and visit us and hang out with us on Sunday morning. Hope to see you there.